Okay, very appropriate start to tonight, because tonight we're going to be talking about intentions. Intentions. What do you think is the number one intention that people have that does not become a reality for most? The number one intention, what? Getting famous? If we're playing Family Feud, that would be about sixth. Okay. Losing weight, number one. How many said losing weight or getting fit, that sort of thing? Yes, we did a complete scientific study with our staff, and that was the number one answer for great intentions, but the reality often doesn't hit. And so I want to start with a video that just helps us think about intentions, especially in the area of conditioning and weight loss.
I don't know. So they sent me to my regular doctor for a follow-up, and I was nervous going because my cholesterol, I knew it was going to be high because last year it was high, and I hadn't done anything different. What are the odds your cholesterol is going to plummet for no reason? Come on, 200, come on! 337, how can that be? I had Burger King coupons in my pocket. It's inexplicable. So I was nervous. And I realized that's the only time as an adult that I feel like a little kid, is when I go to the doctor. You didn't do what I told you, did you? No, I didn't. What should you have done? I should have listened when you were talking to me. What are you going to do from now on? Pay attention when you say things. When are you going to start? I'm going to start right now. Immediately. Tall doctor. He's a good doctor, I think, you know. I told him I get heartburn sometimes, so he goes and gets me a list of things that cause heartburn. I'm looking at the list and I'm like, I already know this. I know how to get it. That's like going into the hospital with a cannonball wound and they show you a list. Here's how you get cannonball wounds. I have a cannonball wound. It's gaping. Do you have a tube of cannonball wound ointment? Number one, do not stand directly in front of a cannon. How true that is. So my doctor looks at me and says, you should probably drop a couple pounds there, Brian. Thank you. Only your doctor has carte blanche on insults. He just insults you for a while, and then you pay him for the insults on the way out. Well, you should lose some weight, and those moles are looking pretty weird. All right, how much for that, doc? When can we get together again? Big fat mole man walking out of your office. Thanks for the confidence boost. I'm off to the Macy's Day Parade. Grab a rope!
Oh, how true it is. Somebody hit the lights back there. Thanks. Oh, my goodness. If you don't know Brian Regan, great, great comedian. Listen, here is the deal, that we often have great intentions, but we don't follow through. We don't need more intentions. We need more intentionality and follow through. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to look at the life of Daniel, one of my favorites from the Old Testament. Everybody have a copy? If you don't have one, you want one, raise a hand. Okay. Okay. Let's pray as we continue. Father, thanks for a great day. Thanks for the knowledge that you have come to give us life, that you've come to give us life to the full. Thank you for this place that you have set aside for us to focus on you a little more clearly, get away from a lot of the distractions of our lives. So tonight we ask that you would help us to just hear a word from you, from your word, as you tell us about some of your people living their lives. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to talk about six areas of intentionality tonight in Daniel's life. When you talk about Daniel, what are some things you know about Daniel? Raise a hand. We'll do it like school. If you don't raise a hand, I don't call on you. Yes. Okay, taken from his homeland as a teenager. He only ate vegetables. He went in the cave with lions. Okay, he followed God faithfully. Anything else you know about Daniel? Yeah. Okay, another person, but he was a good guy. Joseph, he's one of my favorites too. Yes. Okay, he prayed regularly towards Jerusalem three times a day. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Vegetables. Yes, he ate vegetables. Yeah, it helps with memory. It's okay. That's fine. Eat more vegetables. Okay. Anything else? Listen, if you don't have an original, just repeat something somebody said. That's fine. What? He interpreted visions. One more. What? Vegetables. Okay. This is going to be a fun group this week. Okay, let's look at six intentions. The first intention was Daniel was intentional in his preparation. Daniel was intentional in his preparation. Chapter 1, verse 3. Then the king commanded his chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both in the royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. What was Daniel preparing for before he got exiled? What did he know was coming? Did he know what was his future? How many of you know what your future is 5 years from now? Exactly what you're going to be facing. Did Daniel know? So how do you prepare for something you have no clue what's coming? Pray, okay? What? Okay, study scriptures. Stored up vegetables. Yeah. Okay, prepared his body. He was good looking in appearance. Okay. Was he knowledgeable? Did that just come one day? So he probably studied, but he didn't know what he was preparing for, right? But he was prepared. Now, don't miss this, that often we don't prepare because we don't know what's coming. Instead of us living godly lives, developing ourselves to our full potential so whatever comes our way, we're ready. Why does the military do procedure after procedure after procedure during times of no war? Right, they're ready for any contingency because if there is, they don't go, oh my goodness, we should have practiced. They're ready because they are prepared in character. I love thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. How did Mary, the mother of Jesus, prepare for being the mother of Jesus? Did she know when she was 10? Hey, man, any year now, I'm going to be the mother of Jesus. I better prepare. How did Mary prepare to be the mother of Jesus? She prayed. So Any other qualifications that Scripture is clear on? Yes. She talked to one of her relatives after she was pregnant? Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, so understand by, okay, let's go it the other way. What would have disqualified her? She was a virgin. So how did she prepare herself? She honored God. If she wasn't a virgin, she wouldn't have been the mother of Jesus, right? Those who weren't virgins disqualify themselves because Scripture is very clear that the mother of Jesus would be a virgin. Did she? Is that why she was a virgin? Because she thought, man, I better stay a virgin. I want to be the mother of Jesus. No. Do you see what I'm saying? It's when we live our lives, then when God calls us to something, we're ready because that's the sort of people we are, character. Some of you know, the adults know, and some of our staff, but where Virginia and I were the last couple days, we're in Aspen, Colorado. I officiated at Matt Cassel's wedding. He's a Patriot player, and Tom Brady was there, and his wife, Giselle. What did I say? Oh, Matt Cassel was there. We get confused, so many people there. But anyway, Wes Welker's wedding to Anna Burns. Tom Brady was there, his wife, Giselle Bundchen, and she was there, and all these people were there. And why did I start telling this story? Because the reason I'm telling it was being prepared. So, Matt Cassel and Tom Brady are there. What's the relationship between Matt Cassel and Tom Brady? Backup. Who is the backup? Matt Cassel is the backup. Did he ever get to play when Tom Brady was playing? No. But you know what he did? He practiced. He knew every play, every week. So when Tom Brady went down, he went in. And the Patriots, as always, have an incredible season. Why do the Patriots have an incredible season? Because they are prepared for contingencies. Don't give me feedback on that. We'll just go ahead, okay? Okay. Are we prepared? Are we prepared? Second point, Daniel was intentional in his convictions. Intentional in his convictions. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself, but to eat vegetables, right, and to drink water. Okay, here's a big thing about convictions, and you see it in Daniel's life. When did Daniel decide on his convictions? Early. And what did he do with his convictions? He went public, right? Two things really important about convictions. Set them first and then be public with them. Because for a lot of us, our convictions are decided situation by situation, right? And Daniel could have gone, you know, I think I'll see what's being served for dinner before I make my public thing. I mean, if it's prime rib or, you know, maybe I won't say this. I'll just eat the king. No, he makes his decision before and he's public. First thing, conviction. And a lot of times it's easy for us to fudge on our convictions because why were Daniel and his three friends being prepared? What were they being prepared for? Yeah, they're going to serve in the king's service. It's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty high honor. It's like serving in the White House. You know, you're being prepared for something. And do you usually challenge people who are telling you to do something if they're over you like that? Why? Because I might lose my position of influence. Daniel, though, had convictions just as he was going into that. We have a friend who has really gone high up in his work and in whatever company he's with. And he told us a story when he was working for a large software company that he had a new boss. And the boss called him on a Saturday and said, John, you know, just got some things I want to go over with you. And John said, excuse me, with all due respect, is this an emergency? And his boss said, well, no, but I was just thinking about this concept and wanted to talk it over. And John said, well, you know, I want you to hear me really clear. If there's an emergency, call me anytime. But if it's not, I'd appreciate you not disturb me on Saturday or Sunday. Because I have a priority in my wife and to being renewed on the weekend. So is that okay with you? Why did he say that? We had convictions, right? He wasn't just, let's see, every time. We're going to make our decisions every time. He's now CEO of a huge company. Why? I'm convinced because he has convictions and he sets them in relationships. Are you afraid to have convictions because if you say you won't do something, some of your friends will reject you? Do you make your decisions on what your lifestyle is? If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, do you say, well, I'll decide how physically involved we'll get depending on whether it'll keep him or lose him or keep her or lose her? I'll never forget talking to a group and we were talking about physical involvement, and this girl came up and we said that physical involvement should not be a glue that holds two people together. I mean, if you can't enjoy being together without being physically involved, you've got a problem in your relationship. And she said, oh, my boyfriend, it's nothing about physical relationship. We're sleeping together, but that's not important to him. He just likes me for who I am. Oh, we said, well, that is so wonderful. So why don't, when you go home, just tell him we're not having any physical involvement again? Because if that's not what's holding you together, I'm sure he'll just say that's fine. And then she started to tear up. He said, well, I tried that once. And he said, if you won't sleep with me, I'm not staying with you. Why was she sleeping with him? What? She didn't want to lose him, right? Did she have convictions? No, she didn't have convictions. See, convictions are those things that you set when? Early and what? Publicly. Danny Woodhead, one of our Patriot running backs, tells a story on his second date with Stacia. They were sophomores in high school. He said to Stacia, I'm not going to sleep with the woman I'm with until she's my wife. Is that okay with you? Because if it's not, this is our last date. Third date, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm passionate about following him. If that's not a passion of yours, we're done tonight. How are you feeling about following Jesus and not sleeping with me? And 7 years later, they got married as virgins following the Lord. Why? Because they had convictions that they set publicly. But see, too often we make our decisions night by night or situation by situation, right? Set your convictions, make them public, and live by them. Some of you may have seen this, but as I was talking about case by case, some of us adults, I mean, I know you kids, your teens, have problems with this because it's hard, right? Adults don't have problems with this because we have convictions, right? And we stick to them. I don't know if you've seen the movie Courageous, but I want to show you a clip because often when we cave, it's when there's a lot at stake and we really don't trust God, we decide we better take things into our own house. So watch this little clip from Courageous.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Martinez. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I don't know yet. Please, have a seat. I trust you've had time to think about our conversation yesterday.
Yes, sir, I did.
And what did you decide? Are you on my team?
Mr. Tyson, I am very grateful to have a job here. I cannot do as you have asked.
And why is that?
Because it is wrong, sir. It would be dishonoring to my God and my family to lie on that report.
Do you understand what this may do to your job here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Javier, may I shake your hand? Young man, you just gave me the right answer. I've been looking for someone to manage inventory and shipping, and quite frankly, you were the last person on my list. But I need somebody I can trust. Will you take the job? We'll adjust your pay.
I would be honored to, sir.
Good. Then the job is yours. Now, Walter will go over all the specifics with you, and I'll make the announcement to the staff on Monday. Congratulations, Javier. Oh, and Javier, thanks for your integrity. It's rare.
Okay, so Javier, they're having tough times financially. If you haven't seen Courageous, he realized he very likely will lose his job. And what precedes this, all he has to do is short every shipment by one case or one pallet, and he won't do it. You see, when did he make his decision? He made it before he went in, and he and his wife decided on it, they went in. That's what Daniel's. Daniel is saying, no, I'm not going to defile myself. And teens especially, and adults. And I just want to say this because this weekend we were at a drink fest. We saw more drunk people at this weekend before, after the rehearsal, at the dinner, that were making total fools of themselves, and then after the wedding. And I just want to say to teens, really think clearly about alcohol. It is destroying people and to parents. And I know this isn't a big thing. It's not a hobby horse. But I do want to say Christians are caving on this subject. So many Christians say, well, we only get drunk 2 times a year. If I told Virginia I only have adultery 2 times a year, do you think she's going to say, oh, that's good? Twice, is that all? No. And Christians are saying, well, we don't get drunk. We just get so buzzed that we can't think straight. Folks, make your decisions early and stick with them. Third, Daniel was intentional in his friendships. Daniel was intentional in his friendships. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. This is after he interpreted one of the dreams. Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. You know what? You see this. Daniel was sitting with these three guys at the meal where he goes public about what he's going to eat and what his friends are not going to eat and drink and that. And then he keeps saying, I want to hang with these guys. When he's in the position, he says, make sure my three friends are with me. Why? How important is it to have good friends around you? Yeah, if you just say, oh, I'll just have whoever comes around. No, Daniel was very intentional, and he said, I'm going to surround myself with people that think the same way and that are going to encourage me in the same way. What kind of friends do you have? In times of pressure, what do they say? Just do a mental thing here. Think of your two best friends right now. Who are the two best friends that you go to and you talk to most often? What I'm going to hope is that they're people of faith. Because if they're not, I'm going to challenge you to think about who your two best friends are. Because you want to have friends that are encouraging you along God's ways. Have you heard of peer pressure? Let me tell you a story about peer pressure that happened here at Campus by the Sea. One day, this is years and years ago at a family camp, right after the pier was built, we don't even announce it, I don't think, anymore, but it's very clear that nobody jumps off the pier. And when the pier was new, it was a huge thing, every orientation, nobody jumps off the pier. Well, one evening after a meeting, I'm just around camp, and somebody comes and says, hey, 5 guys jumped off the pier tonight. So bring them in. We're in the back room. Sit them down. You know it was wrong.
Yeah.
I said, you know, this is not, I said, first, you're idiots. Because you could have gotten killed with, depending on what level of the water, or paralyzed. But I said, that's not my biggest concern. And my biggest concern isn't the pier. My biggest concern is that none of you said, don't do it. I said, there are 5 of you. 5 of you knew that it was wrong, and not one of you had the guts to say, no, this is wrong. See, surround yourself with people that have convictions. That if you're tempted to do something, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not doing this. This is wrong. Be somebody who is willing to stand even when it's not popular. One more clip, and this is one I just saw today, actually. But it's a real clip about sometimes the peer pressure to be cool and be accepted. We don't do what is right.
What are you guys doing? Here we go. That's not for me. That's for my boss. I am not a boss.
Get in there.
This is bad.
Oh, this is good. At least we know we're not the biggest dorks in school. Maybe we should say something. It's survival of the fittest.
Gotta say something. I got to. I have to.
Say something. It's hilarious. The kid fits in the locker. Come on.
Not funny.
Somebody.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Stop!
Whoa.
I mean, you don't have to, but...
Harry Potter. You need to keep your big mouth shut.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell him.
Hey!
Run! Everybody run! It's not safe here!
Hey, check this out. Matching shirt geeks. Yo, Ron, these bitches really want to wear the same shirt. Let's make them wear the same shirt, huh?
What?
Yeah. Bats on here!
There!
You better keep that on, because if I see you trying to take it off, you're dead. And you know what happens? If one of you dies, both of you dies.
Because you're Siamese queers, bitches! Oh.
Okay, who's doing right in the clip? Huh? One person, right? Now, we may go, you know, his little friend, he really should have said something. But how many kids were standing around? Nobody's doing anything. Make sure you pick your friends well, because you need good, good friends who will support you in your decisions. Then fourthly, Daniel was intentional Daniel's friends were intentional in their faith. This is very familiar. This is about the fiery furnace. And you know the story that they would not worship the golden statue, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to burn, right? You're getting thrown in, and I love this. And this is what they said. Now, Daniel 3:15-3. Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of all these instruments, fallen down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship it, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to this king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I love that because there are two things. They're confident that God is able, but what do they say? Even if he's not going to, we're not going to do this, right? Because they had such convictions and they were not willing to cave. So often, I think our faith is sort of, well, is God going to come through? And I don't want to in any way minimize how traumatic it is, but often if God doesn't come through to us, we turn away from God. If something happens bad in our life, we say, well, then God isn't good, then I'm not going to follow him. As if it's up to us to determine if God is good. This wedding we were at in Aspen, wedding's at 6 o'clock on top of this ski area, and Virginia and I get out of the gondola at 5, and the wind and rain are just, we're soaked, and we have umbrellas. but it's blowing sideways, and your umbrella doesn't do that. And you know what the people said that knew us? Pray. 200 atheists, pray. They didn't believe in God. Pray. And I'm thinking, wow, this would be really cool, God, if it didn't rain. And if it didn't rain at 6, you know what we would have said? God is so good because it didn't rain. What if it had poured at 6 and 6:30 and 7? Would God have been good? See, do you see what we do? If God answers our directives to him, he's good, right? He says God is able to stop the rain, but if he doesn't, we're still going to honor him. He stopped the rain, which is really cool, but if he hadn't, we just all would have gotten wet. Okay, God is able. So do we follow God just when we get what we want, or do we follow God because of who he is, no matter what the circumstances are? There are people that are following God all over the world today that are literally losing their life because they won't bow down. They won't deny Christ. And they don't say, wow, if God were good. No, they have a love for him, and it's that good. Fifth, Daniel was intentional in his work ethic. I love this. Daniel rises to the top. He's on top of everything. And you know when people do really well, do most people really like them? No. They're waiting for them to fall, right? Waiting for them to make a mistake. And this was true. All the people he worked with, they were going, man, we got to get at him sometime. Tim Tebow, are people going, oh, it's so neat, he's so good? No. There's $1 million for the first girl that will have sex with him this year. It's literally out there. The offer is there. Why would you do that? Because we don't like anybody who has a strong conviction and happens to be living it out as far as we know, right? Let's have them fall. How many times somebody who's really a leader and they let go with a swear word and you, oh, all right. Why are we rejoicing with that? See, Daniel had such a work ethic, they said, if there's any way we're going to get Daniel, it's not how he works, it's not how responsible he is, it's that he has a relationship with the Lord, and we're going to have to trick him on that somehow. You know, we talk to a lot of employers that say their worst employees are Christians. That's a really sad thing. Christians should be the best employees, because who are we working for? Not McDonald's, not Burger King, not Oracle, not Apple Computer. We are working for the Lord. What you do, do this unto the Lord. We should be the best. And Daniel was good. He was intentional about this. We have a friend who worked at a restaurant. And I don't know, how many of you have been waiters or waitresses? Okay, I'm not going to ask you for your answers to this, but I'll just say our friend got in trouble because he reported his tips. And he worked at a very nice restaurant. And how are tips given often? In cash. And the acceptable way is tip for cash into the pocket. Tip on the credit card, report it, because there's a trail. He was reporting all of his tips on his income tax and all of his reports. Do you think he was liked? No. They hated him. Why? Because all of a sudden, it's very clear that they're not doing right. And he is. All that we are doing, we should do it unto the Lord. What was that, fifth or sixth? Maybe there are seven. How many are there? Was that five? That was? I have 2 fives on your outline too? Oh, how cool. Okay. Well, 5B. 5B. Daniel was intentional in his disciplines. As was remarked over here, Daniel prayed how many times a day? 3 times. And where did he pray? Toward Jerusalem and on his knees in front of the window. Okay, so what's the decree? Don't do it. And what happens if you do it? Into the lion's den. So, Daniel, what's it say? And Daniel, I love this. It says, he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, not in rebellion to that. And hear this really clearly. He got down on his knees before his God as he had done previously. See, that was just his pattern. And I'm not going to change it just because there's some threat. I'm not afraid to be public about my disciplines with the Lord. Wow, wouldn't that be something if the only way people could trick us and trap us was in our personal disciplines with the Lord are so regular? If I'm going to take him out, I know I can get him at 6. He's on his knees every morning having his quiet time. We can take him out every morning. He's having prayer. Daniel was so regular. That's what he did. He was regular in his spiritual disciplines. When I was in a wedding, this was years and years ago, in New York City. Sort of a fun thing, took us out to a fancy place, and we walked in, and the man said something about your coat. And I said, oh, that's okay, I don't have one. He said, that's the problem. You have a coat. You don't have a coat, you don't eat here. Which seemed ridiculous to me. Why would you turn a customer away just because I didn't have a coat? He said, we have a coat for you. Wear our coat, you can eat in our restaurant. So we ate there, very fancy place. We're sitting around this big table. All of us are Christians, except for one girl. Except this was a bridal deal, and everybody's a Christian except for the sister of the groom. Meal comes, and we all start to eat. And Shelley says, hey, the only non-Christian, hey, don't you pray? Are you guys ashamed or something? I thought you were Christians. So, you know what we said? You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to bow your heads. Jesus knows. She didn't buy it. Are you ashamed? And so here, where we had been raucous, I mean, we're just laughing and joking in this restaurant, and all of a sudden, dead silence. And we all were praying. We gave thanks for our meal. Why? Because the only one who didn't believe in God said we should pray. Are our spiritual disciplines that? And I'm not saying you have to pray in public and get up everywhere, but, you know, is this real? Are you ashamed of it? Is it just how life goes? Lastly, I think this is 6 or 7, depending how you're going to count. Daniel was intentional in his witness. You know, Daniel was intentional in his witness, not that he was handing out stuff always. We were talking this last week on our staff. I think it was, who was it from Cal State Fullerton? Was it Tara DeBay? No, it was, okay, Taylor. I was saying there's a person, Cal State Fullerton, that has this huge banner, and he just screams, repent or you're going to hell. And she just does this in front of everybody all day long. And, you know, I graduated from California State University at Fullerton in 1972, and that person was there then, or somebody like that person. And every day they witnessed by telling everybody they're going to hell and screaming at them. One day, he was in the cafeteria, great place to witness if you want to, because everybody's eating, they're captive, and get on a megaphone and scream, you're all going to hell. It's very effective. People usually go, oh, thank you so much for sharing that. So this person sharing, I go up and I say, excuse me, you and I want the same thing. We're all concerned that people are going to hell. But I don't think the way you're doing it is good. Folks, there's a wishy-washy guy here who says he's a Christian, but he's not a Christian because if he, and yelling at me in front of the whole, Is that effective witnessing? Is that what Daniel was doing? See, a lot of us feel good if we're getting persecuted, but we're just getting persecuted because we're obnoxious. You get no points for getting persecuted. We're not supposed to be persecuted for obnoxious sake. We're supposed to be persecuted for Christ's sake. Was Christ obnoxious? No, people came to him. He wooed them to him. There was winsomeness in him. And I like this passage, and want to close with this, because listen to what it says. The king, was the king happy that Daniel's getting thrown in the lion's den? No. Why? Because he liked Daniel. And Daniel was a follower of God, and the king wasn't. But the king liked him. So he gets tricked. Kings are not smart. Read the Bible. They do stuff that, oh my goodness, how did I make that decree? So then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast in the lion's den, even after the king had tried to get him out of it. The king declared to Daniel, and I love this, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. Gets thrown into the lion's den. The break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish, and the king declared to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve constantly been able to deliver you from the lions? Isn't this cool? Here's a guy who didn't even believe, and he's saying, your God could deliver you. Why? Because he had seen how Daniel lived. He'd seen the power of God in Daniel's life. And that's what we want. Daniel was intentionally living out, not by handing out tracts, and I'm not against handing out tracts, but that wasn't his, I'm doing evangelism. Daniel was living a life that was honoring to God, and the king said, wow, your God could take care of you. Daniel was intentional about his witness. I want to close with a story that takes place in Africa. Because it talks about, I think, the power of God. Our daughter Julie is married to Derek Johnson. He's executive director of a hospital, pediatric neurological hospital in Mbale, Uganda. They moms bring their babies in, and they do surgery for hydrocephalus or spinal bifida. The moms always accompany the babies. The babies are very young, and part of the hospital's ministry is while the babies are there having surgery, getting prepped for surgery, recovering from surgery, they very intentionally minister to the mothers and present the gospel to the mothers while they're there waiting for their babies. So they did a mom brought her little boy in, and in surgery, the baby died. The boy died. And in Africa, that's just, it's just an incredible thing. The baby and the mom go back to the native village, and sometimes the moms would literally have to put their babies in a suitcase because you couldn't take a dead baby on the bus. So they basically smuggled their babies. They go back, and they go back into the village, and the father is there. Now, when the father let his wife and his son go to the hospital, his son was alive. The mom and the boy come back, and the boy is dead. 2 weeks later, there's a knock at the compound gate, and it's the boy's father. The staff are pretty petrified because, in a very simplistic way of thinking, we brought my son to you. He was alive. You killed my son. And what do many natives believe? You kill my son, I kill somebody, I get revenge, right? So the staff, understandably, was very concerned. Eventually, one of the staff went up to the gate, said, what could we do for you? He said, my wife and my son came in here 2 weeks ago, and whatever you did for my wife, I want you to do that for me. My wife is a different person. And whatever you did for her, do that for me. See, that's the power of the gospel. It's to transform our lives so that others say, whatever you did for that person, whatever you did for that marriage, whatever you did for that family, that's what I want. One of the NFL ladies came to our house, and Virginia taught them to sew, taught her to sew. They're not very domestic, most of these gals. They were there for, 4 hours or so, she and another player's wife. Learned to sew, left. She wrote a very, very nice note the next day, or next week, we got it. And what'd she say? This is in my notes, this is straight off my head, but so I don't remember, I don't want to botch it. What'd she say? I didn't ask her to tell that because I make a great meal. That wasn't the point of the story. The point of the story was when people see something, you know, do you know how odd it is for families to really get along and to serve each other? Having people into your home can be an incredible ministry. I don't know what you have in your family, but that's what I want. And it can be an entree to us teaching them about God. If we don't live our lives intentionally, we just sort of float through and we miss out. We have the potential of missing out on so much that God wants for us. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you for Daniel. Thank you for his choices to intentionally follow you. And we pray that you would help us to be those that believe that intentionally following you is the absolute best decision we can make in life. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.